don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It is the time in the show where we bring in one Gerard Cherry, saying goodbye to Jim Corbett from USA Today for hanging out with us in here, and now very pleased to have with us Gerard. Hi, Gerard.
Hey, what's up, Vic? How you doing, man?
Doing wonderfully, man, and I want your vote now. Hard Knocks, thumbs up or thumbs down for the Browns next summer?
Emphatic thumbs down.
Ooh, Nathan's going to be mad at you. Jump on him.
I think for the organization I get it. I think just for the fans it would be pretty awesome.
It's so cool. It's my favorite TV show.
I agree.
Okay, when the Pittsburgh Steelers are watching that one play, and next thing you know you're asking where they got it from, oh, saw it on Hard Knocks. Cause you lose that game, you won't be saying those same song and dance.
But that's less of, well, it's a little less of a worry for me than it is for other people. I realize why.
I think the Browns beat the Bengals because of Hard Knocks. No, I don't.
No, you're not. I was going to say, I didn't hear anybody cite that. But here's the thing. I think it can do, well, first of all, it's so great for those of us, even if you're in the building, even if you're part of this thing, even if you, in your case, you've been a player, you've been through it. All of us who have been so close or on the inside of this, I think it's still revealing. You still see things, right, and conversations and backstories on that show that you don't know about or see even when you're here.
No, that's totally the case, Vic. They do let you in behind the curtain, for a lack of a better description, and you see things on some levels as a player. You don't want people to see the emotion of what you're facing when you're going through, when you think you're about to get cut and what that experience is like. You really want that to remain personal and to yourself, but obviously it's provocative. It's great TV. You can't write this type of a drama, so I get why you want it. But here's my biggest fear with the Browns and the whole idea of being on Hard Knocks, because I saw this last year when they made a decision to do the on-the-road travel show.
Yeah.
And I felt that the team took it as a sign that they had arrived. In my opinion, you haven't done nothing to merit being on that show in the first place. Now, granted, I get it from a financial standpoint, why you make this move, why you had the show, and how you're trying to promote your brand. I get all that. But if it's going to have an adverse effect on your locker room, in which guys are saying to themselves, look at me, more so I'm on TV, as opposed to taking care of business on the football field, that's what you're going to have to weigh out. Where's the mentality of my locker room at? Will guys buy into this and think they've arrived, or are they still going to remain hungry and want to do something of note and accomplishment and not just be on there because of and take merit in the fact that, oh, we're on the Hard Knocks and not focus more on winning more football games and doing what's necessary to become a winning culture and all the things that will require you to get to the playoffs and beyond?
No, I agree with you. I think it's a situation where I don't think it's a voluntary thing anymore.
Right.
The Browns might be compelled to do Hard Knocks, and then I guess at that point you got to embrace it and hope
exactly
things can go as well as they can within there. Calvin Johnson, the latest news on him, Gerard, is that he is likely to be a game-time decision. Reggie Bush said today they practice without him, and they're planning to play without him this weekend. What's your take on that, and is this something that could be used as some type of strategery, if you will, by the Lions to put out some misinformation about Calvin Johnson's status, or where do you stand with this?
Oh, I totally see this. Cloak and dagger. A lot of people don't realize, but football coaches and organizations play the same spy games that you play on a multinational level as well. You don't tell
none as well as the Patriots.
Yeah, they're on the next level there. I mean, they take
I'm
spying literally.
I'm just saying.
Don't tell Bill I said that.
That's right.
But yes, you have to take that approach. Don't let your opponent know what you're going to do. If he's have them prepare for him and think that he's going to be out there, and if he's not there, trust me, Joe Hayden and company will see that as a pleasant surprise, and I'll see it as a surprise too, because that offense is totally anemic when Calvin Johnson's not out there, because they have no true one outside of him, and Reggie Bush is pretty much the person you key on, and if he doesn't have Calvin Johnson, it hurts him his game as well. But yeah. You don't tell no one your secrets, man. That's one of the things I have no problem with Rob being totally non-transparent when it comes to talking about this football team and what he's going to do from a personnel decision-making standpoint.
Gerard, Chud met with the media today,
right,
and said something that made both Nathan and I very happy, and that is that there
yes
is no plan of trading Josh Gordon. Got that off the table. My question to you is, do you think that did enough to maybe put that to rest with fans, people around the team, but maybe more importantly, Does it do something for Josh Gordon?
On a side note, I got some time to fill, so I'm still going to talk about it. But that's a whole different category of this show.
Okay.
So that's why it's going to stay out there because, like I said, doing a radio show, we need something to talk about, and that's perfect.
Well, right, right. Yeah, it's good fodder.
Exactly,
I got you.
Exactly what it is. But I do think for Josh Gordon, it does give him some semblances of assurance, and also for the fan base, too, because I just think there would have been an upheaval, and people would have just said, you know what? No, we're not going to go for this. And granted, Joe Banner and company has the right to do whatever they want to do because Mr. Haslam has empowered them to do that. But no, I think it's a great decision being made. It's hard to find playmakers. A lot of people think they grow on trees, and just because you draft someone, there's no guarantee. In my mind, Josh Gordon is a top 10 wide receiver and has the ability to be top 5 if he wants it. And I'm sorry, you just don't luckily pinpoint that in a draft unless you pull a Calvin Johnson and take that can't-miss guy first overall.
Right, I agree with you, Gerard. One thing we talked about is another receiver who was just named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, Travis Benjamin, had a great week returning kicks.
Good for him.
And it was great for him. It was great for this team. Wanted to get your take on something we talked about earlier and potentially utilizing him in the backfield at times, a la Randall Cobb in Green Bay, who had a 67-yard run in a similar situation against this very Detroit Lions team last week. Because it seems to me on a team that is looking for more playmakers wherever they can get it, getting a guy like Benjamin in there maybe to do a run, just get him a short pass out in space, because we saw early in the season defenses just dropping back and daring Brandon Weeden to try to beat them by checking down. Could adding a weapon like Benjamin into that check down game on a third down in an obvious passing situation be something that the Browns could look at?
Totally. I like the middle screen idea, Nathan. I am not having no sense of feel whatsoever for the actually line up in the backfield because Travis Benjamin, in my opinion, is just too light in the derriere. And then one thing that Cobb has going for him is that he has some semblance of size, and I just couldn't see Travis sustain those hits. Probably one of the reasons why we don't see him on the kickoff return, because you got to have a compact body and be bigger than that. Now, granted, I know there's people like Gerald Ice Cube McNeil and people of that nature have pulled it off, but I don't want to take that risk with Travis Benjamin. I give him middle screens. I give him other type of plays out of the backfield, but not nothing running in between the tackles, because if you watch the Lions game against the Packers, Cobb has a straight handoff and takes it about 60-something yards. And you say to yourself, man, he did that at Kentucky, so I'm not surprised by it. But, no, I don't want Travis doing that. I give Greg a little chance with it because he was a former running back. He may still possess that skill set.
Yeah. Gerard Cherry joining us, as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Gerard, Rob Chudzinski in his news conference acknowledged the booing that Brandon Weeden received.
Right.
Okay, last Thursday night, Brandon Weeden addressed it with reporters, and probably in large part because the head coach went ahead and addressed it. Because the rule of thumb, as I've always understood it, correct me if I'm wrong, as a former player, that you don't acknowledge when the fans ever do something that kind of gets to you, that you've heard the booing, even if we all heard it and there's no denying that it was heard. But there's always been this game in my many years of being around this league of pretending that stuff like that doesn't happen. But the coach acknowledged it. Weeden acknowledged it, talked about it, and of course they said the right things about it. But
right.
What's your thought on just even acknowledging it, opening the door to the conversation of it?
I think it was actually a good idea to get ahead of it and say, you know what, we heard it, we know it's out there. At the same time, you hope it doesn't continue. And even if he does give you a reason to boo him per se, he's still your guy. You still got to support him. I understand you're frustrated that Hoyer was not out there. But I like the fact that they got him from it and acknowledged it. Like, no, we heard you. We get it. Now, granted, you like to think because it's your home field that your fan base will not be booing you on a continual basis. So I think that's one of the reasons why you can make that move. Now, you definitely don't tell your opponent, oh, yeah, we heard it, because that's going to really act a fool the next time around. But, no, I think they did the right thing, Vic, by acknowledging and saying pretty much we understand what took place. And also let it be known that, yeah, and give Brandon Weeden credit for that, man. Imagine being booed in your own home and you're just doing your job. And you're trying your best to do your job. And that's what he was trying to do. And that's the thanks you get for it. And granted, he gets paid handsomely to get booed or to get cheered. We understand that. At the same time, though, I got to give him credit for stepping into that type of a situation and not letting it get him down and prevent him from doing what was necessary to help the Browns win that game. So I'm looking forward to see what Brandon Weeden does this weekend, but I do, again, like the fact that they acknowledged it and they didn't shy away from it, and you shouldn't.
Good thoughts. No, I'm with you on that. I think you're right in how they handled it and addressed it. And honestly, the topic of the day was Brandon Whedon handling, addressing everything, mm-hmm. right? What he went through to suffering the injury, to effectively being benched, to now being back thrust into the job once again, and how he's going to, and his first start, official start since his return from injury, because he played most of that other game, but he's coming up against as incredible a defensive line as he's going to see. And there's got to be a mental readiness for this, because I think the stress level for a quarterback has got to be through the roof when you're going up against Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley.
Totally the case. But one thing he does have going for him, and people say, well, it's preseason, it shouldn't matter, but he does have a sense and a feel of what it is like to compete against those guys. Familiarity is always a great thing when you're playing football, so you don't go totally out there unaware of what is around you in regards to who's trying to hurt you, because that's what Sue and Fairley, believe me, will be trying to do. So Brandon can at least say, I have an idea how my offense performed last time. Now, granted, doesn't mean it will hold up, and I also know that I can play effective against the ones on this particular defense. So I think that helps him out a lot. And on top of that, Vic and Nathan, he has extra days to prepare for this game, and let me give you my correct English before Miss Ferguson, my eighth grade English teacher, comes out of her grave and attacks me.
Okay.
But you have to.
That's right. Proper English.
You have to say
put
to yourself,
your Tomo voice with it, too.
Gerard Cherry here for Tomo.
Now you're trying to get Miss Ferguson in trouble. They have lawsuits about that stuff nowadays. But all seriousness, nice. with Brandon Whedon, he received a template from Brian Hoyer on how to make this offense click and work.
Right.
So he can take some of those concepts and utilize them at the same time, play his game, and I think he'll be all right.
Good stuff. All right, we'll talk to you again tomorrow, sir.
Take care, guys.
All right, Gerard.
3 o'clock, Gerard Cherry on with Bruce Hooley. Hooley and Gerard following this show. We want to get into some tweets, some barks from the pound. And you can call us, by the way. There's still time. If you want to chat with us, 216-578-0850. Vic, Nathan, ESPN 850, WKNR.